12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And I have just been informed that at 12:15, we will be joined by the mayor of Smashville, one Terrence Arthur Crisp.
Crispy. Yes.
Going to join the show. Looking forward to that as we're live at Centennial Sportsplex for Predators training camp presented by Vanderbilt Health. So looking forward to talking to him. But right now, we talk about the Titans' opponent on Sunday, the Las Vegas Raiders. Dennis Ackerman is the host of Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Network. He joins us. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So obviously the Raiders sit in the same hole as the Titans at 0-2 after their start to the season. But I want to go back to last week and how Josh McDaniels, explained that loss in overtime to the Arizona Cardinals, because it looked like that the Raiders were going to get in the win column for the first time.
Yeah, look, it was a complete failure from the coaching staff on down to the players. I mean, they led 20-0 at the half against the Arizona Cardinals and then ended up losing 29-23 in overtime to fall to 0-2. And it was the biggest lead that the Raiders had ever given up in losing a game. And now it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back, because in the AFC West, if they fall to 0-3, that's just too big of a gap to make up to try and even be competitive within that division.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the playmakers that they have on offense. Obviously, Derek Carr at quarterback, but they acquired Davante Adams. You already have Darren Waller. I mean, to me, with Josh McDaniels and his offensive mind, what he's done for years with the Patriots, that should have been a good combination. But have you really seen the offense be able to do the things that they're capable of to this point?
I would say no, and even Derek Carr kind of commented on that this week, that he's still not completely 100% comfortable in this offense. He's more comfortable than he was, say, maybe a month ago. But you look at all the weapons they have, and you just mentioned them with Adams and Waller. Now, they might be without Hunter Renfrow this week. He suffered a concussion on that final play against the Cardinals, has not practiced this week, so he'll be unlikely to play on Sunday. But they've only scored an average of 21 points a game, and you would look at this, all those weapons, you think, well, this team should be scoring a lot more. But I still think they're finding their way in this offense. And I really believe that this team is still searching for identity. I watched it through two games. They didn't play well against the Chargers, yet they still had an opportunity to win on the final drive. And then they had the meltdown, unfortunately, last week against the Cardinals to fall to 0-2. So I still think they're looking for an identity, who this team is under Josh McDaniels.
Now, Dennis, with this team acquiring Davante Adams, and that was probably the biggest move other than Tyreek Hill this season, even with that, how much pressure is on Derek Carr to now, with these new weapons, to now make sure this offense is one of the better offenses in the National Football League?
Well, I think there's always pressure on the starting quarterback. When they lose, in the first game he threw three interceptions against the Chargers, and everyone was ready to, oh my gosh, Derek Carr's back to him, his old self, and, Davante Adams, he had 10 receptions against the Chargers. And then you look at the Cardinals game, Derek played very well in the first half, but then in the second half, that offense did absolutely nothing. They only scored 3 points, and Davante Adams was held to 2 catches, I believe, for 12 yards. And then you look at Josh Jacobs, how well he ran the ball against Arizona, but they kind of went away from that in the second half. And then if you look at the Raiders' offensive line, it's one of the worst in the NFL for some reason. They didn't address it in the offseason, and they've given up 7 sacks through the first couple games. So like I just said, I still think Derek and the rest of this offense, they're still learning about it, and what makes it even more difficult is they have a shaky offensive line to begin with.
Now, with that being said, the defensive side of the ball, obviously everyone knows about Max Crosby and what he's been able to do. Chandler Jones, the last time we saw Chandler Jones, he ended up getting 5 sacks against the Titans. How has that combination worked out for the Raiders thus far?
Well, I think the Raider fans would be happy if Chandler Jones could just get 1 sack, because right now through the first 2 games, he doesn't have any sacks, and I think this is a defense that's still learning under first year defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. So far, the defense has just 1 sack through 2 games. Of course, that was from Max Crosby. They created just 1 turnover. So They played pretty well against the Chargers. Justin Herbert had a hot hand for a while. The rush defense has been pretty good so far, that side of the ball. It's the secondary that's been a little bit suspect. And Trayvon Merrick, their starting safety, he's likely not to play on Sunday. It could be without Denzel Perriman again. He was their leading tackle from a year ago. He missed the Cardinal game, and he might miss Sunday's game as well. So just like the offense, this defense is a work in progress.
Dennis, you mentioned some key things there. I'd love to talk to you about where you think, with Josh McDaniels, Derek Carr fits short-term and long-term as he picks up this system. What do you think the future holds for him?
Well, look, I still think Derek Carr is a very good quarterback. I know he's a lightning rod when it comes to this fan base, but this is Derek's ninth year in the NFL, and this is his sixth head coach already, and he's played for numerous offensive coordinators, and basically, I just think it takes time to develop, you know, that under a new system. And unfortunately for the Raiders, they play in the AFC West, and it's so difficult. There's not a huge learning curve in order to keep up with the Kansas Cities and the L.A. Chargers of this division. So do I think it's a good fit, Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr? I absolutely do. Is it going to take some time? I absolutely think it is. But how much time do the Raiders really have? Because not only do they have a difficult division, they have a very difficult schedule. And like I said earlier, you fall to 0-3, and the 2022 season could be a very long one for Raider Nation.
How is the Darren Waller situation sorted itself out? I heard some stuff was going on there, contract-wise, new system, all of that.
Well, look, I think he got the new deal right before the season started, and I expect him to have a huge year. You know, he's never had a Devontae Adams type of a receiver on this team. That should open up a lot more stuff for Darren Waller. I know he was kind of quiet in the first game against the Chargers, played pretty well last week. And he needs 85 yards on Sunday from the second season to move up in terms of receiving yards for tight ends in Raiders history. And it's a pretty good history with the Raiders with tight ends. And you're talking Dave Casper and Todd Christensen. So, look, Darren Waller's just going to be fine. I think he's going to have a huge year. You know, last year was kind of a down year for him. He only played in 11 games. He had about 55 receptions. So I look to him to return to the form of a couple years ago when he had over 100 receptions for the Raiders.
How is the evolution, I'll use that word, to Vegas working? It's a beautiful stadium. It's always been an interesting fan base to me because, for example, on Sunday, I'm sure there'll be a ton of Raiders fans that find their way in from all over the country. But just that nucleus, how is it at home games in terms of having all Raiders fans there? Are they growing it in the new market?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's very different from Oakland, first of all. Let me say that. And then second of all, obviously playing in a dome is much different from when they were in Oakland playing outside. But, you know, that stadium seats about 65,000 people, and it's not all Raider fans. I've been to a handful of games there in Vegas, and the visiting team usually has a very large contingency. It's not a crowd that you will see in Oakland. It's not, you know, it's a crowd that wants to be entertained. They're not going to be standing the whole time. It's a very, very different atmosphere. And, you know, the Raiders were actually 26th in attendance last year. They did have a lot of no-shows. But you know what? They're also making a lot of money now from that stadium. It's very different from, obviously, the situation they had in Oakland. So it's a different kind of crowd. I think it's learning to be an NFL crowd, but I don't think it's the same home field advantage that they had in Oakland. Now, I'm not saying it can't be one day, but it's much different than what it was. And Mace, I got a little bit of story for you. I know your first game was for the Tennessee Oilers, and it was in Memphis, and it was 1997.
Oh, yes.
I was at that game. I was at that game. It was like 30,000 people. There was at the Liberty Bowl. It was like 100 degrees, 100% humidity, and I think Eddie George has like over 200 yards rushing in the Oilers. They were the Oilers back then. They won in overtime, 24-21. So just a little history for you. I wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah. That was one of the better attended games at the Liberty Bowl.
And it was
still like, that was the first game. We're like, wow, there's a lot of empty
seats. That was your first game?
That was my first game. Yeah. My rookie year, I remember. I got the start as the third receiver, and the first catch was a fumble.
Oh, no.
You fumbled?
Yes. I got the ball knocked out.
Who
was the cornerback then? And we had been
Larry
preaching
Brown,
this. It wasn't Larry Brown. It was the other one. Larry was on one side. No, Larry
McDaniel
wasn't even there.
Larry McDaniel? Was it Terry McDaniels?
Hayes. I think that was his last name. Hayes or Haynes. Not Lester Hayes. I know that. But
we have been
preaching all week. Hey, listen, these guys like to strip the ball when you catch it. We have been preaching that the whole week. I get my first catch on the inside slant, catch the ball, get upfield, and sure enough, they knocked the ball out of my hand.
Terry McDaniel.
Yes, that's who it was. Knocked the ball out of my hands.
Oh, so, man.
That's what the Raiders, that's what they're known for.
So they didn't stop the game and he had a ceremony to keep the ball?
They're like, Mason, hold on to the ball. We went over this.
I had to hold a football on the sideline. What is – a last question for you here, Dennis. What is the sentiment or what is the talk there in Vegas about the Tennessee Titans? Because, I mean – they haven't been the team, especially on offense, that we thought they were going to be. They've struggled. And, you know, not having that playmaker in A.J. Brown has helped in those struggles. But what is the talk in Vegas about this Tennessee Titan team?
Well, I think for the Raiders, I think, you know, they're going to load the box up. And, you know, Derrick Henry, surprisingly, has barely over 100 yards rushing for the first 2 weeks. So I think on defense, you're going to see them load the box. And they're going to say, you know what, Ryan Tannehill, why don't you try to beat us? We'll see what you can do. And it's weird. It's like, I don't know if the Titans really have any threats. I mean, Robert Woods right now is, what, their number one wide receiver. And if you look at him, you think, well, maybe he should be a two or three. So maybe if they're seeing them loading the box, seeing if Tannehill can beat them. And then let's see if they can get that passing game going and play a full four quarters. I think that's the theme of the week for the Raiders is, finish. They couldn't do it against the Chargers. They blew the big lead against the Cardinals. So I think finish is the key for the Raiders this week if they hope to beat the Titans and avoid an 0-3 start.
Well, it's obviously an important game for both teams. Dennis, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Dennis Ackerman joining us from the Believe Network, Believe in the Raiders. That's the podcast that he is a part of. So getting a view of things from the Vegas side of things. Coming up next, Terry Crisp going to join us live and in person. We'll see how he's living retirement. We'll do that coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join Big Joe Dimon and Elijah Campbell tonight for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through a night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're back at Centennial Sportsplex Predators Training Camp, presented by Vanderbilt Health. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you, and the great Terrence Arthur Crisp has joined us.
Terrence Arthur Crisp.
That's you.
Okay, I was wondering who the heck you're talking about.
Crispy.
Yeah. Okay. Nice
Coach
to
Crisp.
Be back, guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got Coach Pex now. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're still Coach Crisp, a.k.a. Crispy. How's the retirement life?
You know what? It's different because you don't realize you're retired until you come back down. We're up in Canada most of the summer.
Yeah.
You come back into the rink, and you're standing there saying, okay, what am I doing here?
What am I prepping for?
Yeah, and I said to my wife, Sheila, it's going to be funny when we walk down the Bridgestone corridor for the first time after 24 years of walking down those corridors with a purpose. Either go up in the booth or on with Lindsay. Or whatever else was going on down there at the time. Now I'm just going to be going by saying, wonder if the beer thing's open.
So how early did they open that?
You went through this as a coach where you got into the booth with Petey and started doing these games. And we all know the story. You were supposed to do one game and then two and then three. And then 24 years later, you're still here. But what's kind of the similarities of the transition of going from coaching to broadcaster to now broadcaster to just a fan and guy that can come watch games whenever he wants?
I think the biggest thing, the difference is the fact that you got to face the fact, I guess I do, is that you're out of hockey. Like the other ones I still maintained was in hockey. This one now suddenly I'm just sort of footloose and fancy free.
I don't think you're really out of hockey, though.
Yeah, we're hoping. We're hoping, God.
I mean,
remember,
I know some things. So I don't know
if
you're
really
out.
Okay, rewind. Yeah, we're hoping to still be involved somehow, somewhere, because, like I said, cold turkey. But I told Sean Henry and Billy Wickett and them, I've never known any other life but the arenas and hockey. My wife and I together, and et cetera. So we're hoping it winds up down. But, hey, we'll still have some fun no matter what's going down.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at this team. David Poile was a busy man this summer. Gets Ryan McDonough, signs Nino Niederreiter, which I know he's your type of player.
He is a mean pest.
Yeah, he's a guy that you hate to play against, but you love to have on your team. But
exactly.
I like the moves that they've made. When you look at it, the tweaks that David's made to the roster, what do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I like it. I like the size of our guys out there. And we're watching the scrimmages here today. These guys were hitting, banging, moving. Yeah. It was like, everybody says that old dumb adage we used to use as coaches. Well, yeah, guys, come on in here and, show us what you got, because, you know, every position's open.
Sure
it is. That's Pecorine over there. That's Shea Weber over there. Oh, there's Josie. Yeah. Every position's open, my foot. There was. But on this one, the kids are even like, I watched scrimmage today. They didn't check the number or the name on the back of the jersey before they hit Yossi, or before they run into the other one. They were running them. They were hitting them. So these kids are serious about making an impression on doing it, which is the good part. Now, there's not a lot of openings, but, hey, it's nice to see that Evangelista, is that his name?
Yeah.
This kid, it's only one scrimmage.
He's talented.
To be back, but he's got hands around the net and whatnot. So it's going to be interesting to see who does stay. On the defense corps, that's going to be an interesting set down, too, to see what happens.
Terry Crisp is with us. Crispy, it's interesting. This is the first day of practice. You have the two rinks, right? You can only be in one. But when you were coaching, how did you try, if a kid was trying to make an impression, right? I'm a young player. I'm trying to impress Coach Crisp. Like, what were you looking for to see how a kid might stand out?
Just his determination. I want to see, is he really serious? Is he not shying away from the hits? Is he doing, you don't stand around in awe asking for autographs. Mr. Weber, could I have your autograph? Yeah, after I run over you, kid. that's what I'm looking for, is competitiveness and not stupidity. Back when I was coaching, the sad part was, if you didn't have five fights in your first scrimmage game at training camp, it was a bad start for training camp. So at least we've cleaned that mess up a little bit. Because, and some of the scouts and that were saying, hey, guys, we bring these kids in here to see what they can do. And they said, and suddenly they're in these scraps and these fights. He says, then suddenly, how are you going to tell what they can do? Because they're not fighters. They're sort of skilled. Let's give them a chance to show their wares, to see what they can do. So you tried to taper it down a little bit. But, it's that old adage. So you want my job, eh, kid? Yeah. You're going to earn it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that was tough sometimes. You had your players that you knew were going to be on the team. And you probably had some scouts saying, okay, so-and-so over here had a great year last year in XYZ, in juniors or in the minors. And you're yourself saying, okay, well, I haven't seen the guy play. He's got to show me. And maybe he doesn't impress you too much in the first few practices. How tough was that when maybe a lot of your people saying, trust me, this guy's ready, and you're saying, I don't know if he's ready?
We got to see. And we can't see. It's a short span of time.
Yeah.
And the kid doesn't have a chance, say, a week and a half. Can you do it? Can you not do it? That's not fair. But that's why you have your minor league teams. And that's why the good part about hockey is you can send them down to Milwaukee or wherever, and then after a month, bring them back up, put them in, and let them go like they've done here, like David Poile and them have done. Well, you're right. The scouts have scouted these kids. They've seen them for a whole year, and they know what the kids can do, but we haven't seen them. We can't sit down on that one. So I guess you just depend on the kids showing up.
We had a chance to catch up with Pekka just for a few minutes. I think we held up the press conference for a couple of days. Pekka was so happy to see Crispy.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be in there with the rest of the media. But I noticed
Coach
yesterday
Betts,
when they sent out the release, they put on there part of what he's doing. He's going to be on the ice coaching. You called him Coach Rene right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
And he was catching us up on family life and all that stuff. But they put the word ambassador in the press release. And I thought of you right away, because that's something that you just naturally – had. I'm just wondering, how did you learn that? Like, did you have family members just come naturally to you? Because you understood the importance of being more than just the guy that's in the booth calling the game, but what you can do for the fans, to connect with the fans. And so you don't throw that term around easily, ambassador. But how did you become an ambassador?
And the silence is deafening.
Ambassador Crisp.
No kidding. That's good, Willie, because I've never been asked that before, that question. I never thought of it. I've just always enjoyed people. I've always, as you know, I got a weird sense of humor.
Yeah,
we've noticed that.
Just ask Lindsay. She'll tell you. I guess it's just something that just come along. It's not something you practiced or you learn. And I think it's probably a lot of the upbringing in your family that you were taught manners. Talk to people. Like
yeah.
I tell my grandchildren, if somebody says hi to you, you say hi back.
Yeah, they like the text.
How are you? Fine, that's all. One word, two words, don't ignore mm-hmm. people. If they had enough time to say, how are you doing? Everything okay? You have enough time to say, it's fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all people want.
Yeah.
They just want to know that you've seen them and noticed them.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And that's something that I know Coach Pex, I know that's something that he will grow into, and I'm sure he will pick your brain in regards to that.
But he's already done it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've seen him come in through here and do what he can do. My wife and I were sitting having a coffee when we heard about it. I said, that's one of the best strokes ever, Pekka coming back into mm-hmm. here, because he's loved. If I'm not mistaken, we're putting a statue up mm-hmm. out in
yeah.
front of the building, and eventually from yep. being made from whatever. And he's earned the respect of all of the fans, mm-hmm. both in the hockey rinks and out in the community, as a lot of them have.
Exactly.
And you know, one of the greatest things in the world is people look for athletes to lead. And I love when you guys do foundation work mm-hmm. and charity work and form clubs like Rockettown. Pekka had his club, Duchesne. Mm-hmm. That's what really makes me feel good, being part of hockey, is when I see their names up there for the boys and girls clubs or whatever it is. Doesn't have to be huge, it's small. It has the same impact on the community that, yeah, they're not just high paid athletes roaming around in Teslas and whatever else. And that. No, I don't have one. That's why I'm saying that. But they get out with the community, and that's what I love. And that's what Pekka Rinne is, just A1, the best at.
Yeah.
Now, where do you see this organization headed? Like, do you see... What do you see the future for this organization? Because you've been here for a long time, and you understand where they've been. You understand, you know, the trials they had to go through. You're around when this team was, you know, cutting it out and fighting, and everybody was cheering, and it was packed outside.
See, that's
of the
what
stadium,
I mean.
Outside
that's
of
what I was talking
arena.
About in training camp, buddy. Drop them. Let's go. Yeah, sure. You noticed.
Exactly. So you were here for the Stanley Cup run. But where do you feel this organization is headed?
They're hungry. Uh-huh. Right now they're hungry. And they're hungry because our fans are hungry. The owners
I'm
are hungry.
Hungry.
Everybody. You're always hungry. we're not talking food. Take them away from me. How many donuts can you eat in one sitting? God, I love us. But, yeah, our fans are itching for it, as we all are. We've been close when we had in 2017. Mm-hmm. And I see that's what David Poile right now, and let's be honest, David Poile is one of the best GMs. He's been 34, 35 years. He's a Hockey Hall of Famer. And the nicest thing, the best gift that they could give to David Poile is a Stanley Cup. And that's what I think these players and the rest of us all are aiming for. That's what we're – aim high. Let's go for it. Let's just go and see if we have another good year. Let's don't keep saying – I remember one year when I was with the Olympic team, Canadian Olympic team. And we started the year off by saying, we're going to go for the gold. Mm-hmm. And one guy said, well, aren't you a little forward in that? Aren't you a little brass? I said, no. What do you want me to tell them? We're just going to have fun this year and go to the Olympics and have some fun. We want a gold medal. Mm-hmm. We got silver. Mm-hmm. We got beat that year, but you tell your people.
Exactly.
We come here, we're serious about winning. Now, only one team can win, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But at least throw your hat in the ring.
Exactly. So you feel that, hey, listen, and I think a lot of people feel this way. You know, David's legacy is set.
Yeah.
He's going to go down as one of the greatest GMs. But that Stanley Cup would just be the icing on the cake.
Awesome. It would be, and I know we all want it, and mm-hmm. they'd like to do it for them. Having said that, the other teams don't cooperate sometimes.
Exactly.
Thinks out there.
Crispy, always good to see you. You are going to still be on this radio station quite a bit, so looking forward to that and doing some call-ins and everything. But we're not going to let you go anywhere.
It's a pleasure, guys, always. And listen, that color TV you promised me for this, yeah. I'll give you the address when it's delivered.
All right, we'll get it.
Flat screen.
We'll get it shipped.
On my radio station. On my radio station. Derek, you can't do that.
Derek's going to go pick it up after the show, so he'll see it too.
Derek, he'll have, hey, it's a big one, so I don't know if you can have it, Derek, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Terry Crisp joining us here on the show. D-Mace, coming up next, it's Ask D-Mace. So get your questions for Derek, 615-737-1025. You can call or text. Ask D-Mace is coming up next. But first, Derek's going to tell us about BetUS.
Yes, I am. And boy, oh boy, if you don't want to bet now, I don't know when you're going to want to bet, because we got some good games coming up this weekend as I try to get this up. Here we go. And as I've said before, people, we got a lot of good games coming up this weekend. And I know a lot of people are looking at that Tennessee and Florida matchup. So if you want to make that bet, then go to BetUS.com to do it. And it's back for its 28th year of NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including MLB, NBA, NFL, and more. You've got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are waiting for you at the tables. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. You need one that you know that you will get paid. You need a sport book that offers everything, and I mean everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. So call today at 1-800-79-BET-US. That's 1-800-79-BET-US. And they will walk you through setting up your new account. Nobody in the industry, and I mean nobody, gives better bonuses than BET-US. Join now and mention 102.5. Yes, the best sports radio show in town. And you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. So nobody beats that. And I'm going to repeat that again. Nobody beats that. So head to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the games begin.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
615-737-1025. It's time to ask D-Mace. You can ask Derek Mason any question you want, but first, a word on our Nashville Deals of the Week. From the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber.
Danke vielmals. Beidership Beer House, Nashville's nur authentic Deutsche Beer Hall, is vollpackt mit Spaß, Futter, Musical, und wichtigste Bier. Haben Sie ein Deutsche Bratwurst oder Schnitzel, Giant Brezel, und more in an Oktoberfest inspired space. Head to thespielnashville.com/deals now to get a Fumsig. Fumsig dollar or Fumsig 200 mark for only $25. To Bayerische Bierhaus, weil wir still haben diese stuff around.
Well done. Well done.
Very nice.
Well done. Oh, thank you, Pete.
Crispy wants to go back to the thing they did on YouTube with Hitler and the Maple Leafs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Oh, no. Thank you, Pete.
Feeling dunk.
All right. Let's switch it. Here we go.
All right, Papa.
Okay. All right. Ask D-Mace time. 615-737-1025. Thank you, Pete, for that. That was fantastic stuff. For our Nashville Deals of the Week, just go to thegamenashville.com. For that, you know the drill. You can ask D-Mace anything. You can call or text. But this, okay, we're going to start with a life question.
Okay.
Or not a life question, but pop culture.
Pop culture. Let's
go. Hey, D-Mace, not sure if you were a fan of The Sopranos, but what do you think happened to Tony? Did he get whacked at the diner when it fades to black? Dylan.
Nice.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I can't, you know, the Sopranos were so long ago, and I would watch it, but not like a lot of other people did. I would catch it like going in and out. But I don't know as far as, you know, he could have got, you know, whacked when they fade to black. You never know, though. But if they do indeed want to start another Sopranos, then we don't know if he's alive or not.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
And they might have did that on purpose. They might have done it on purpose.
I think, of course they did.
Absolutely.
You would leave the door open.
Exactly.
You never know.
Absolutely. Smart move.
Milo on our text line. Hey, Derek, would just like to know what kind of music you're on these days.
Oh, man, I listen to just about anything and everything. Right now I'm listening to Jack Harlow, when you say sort of rap, hip-hop. I like Jack Harlow. I took my daughter and I.
You just went to the show, yeah.
Yeah, we went to the concert at Municipal not too long ago. Really good concert. He did a really, you know, did a fantastic job. But I'm always – you know, if it's not Jack Harlow, then I'm somewhere in the 80s or the 90s listening to music, whether it be R&B, rap, you know, pop. I just love that genre of music or that period of music. I just love it. It's timeless music to me. The new music, a lot of the new music, Willie, I can't understand. I really can't.
Okay.
They might be talking too fast for me, but I can't understand what they're saying.
Do your kids give you new music, like this, what they're listening to? Do they give you samples? So how does that connect?
It don't.
It doesn't.
It does.
So there's a generation gap.
Yeah, some music I can, but a lot of that music, I'm like, what are they saying? Like, seriously, like, what's going on here?
Okay.
You know, so.
So 615-737-1025. Come on, let's ask D-May some questions. We're going to have trivia again today for Elton John tickets coming up at 1:30. Okay. So
come on, people. Ask D-May. There's a lot of stuff out there that you can ask me about.
So I'll ask you one. You talk about this Titans team, and they don't have enough playmakers outside of Derrick Henry. So who in your mind this week can step up and make a play? Let's just – they don't have to necessarily take over the game, but somebody that – you need to just show up and make a big play to help them win this game.
I think Robert Woods is going to have to step up in, or they're going to have to get him more involved in the game. But I think he needs to be one of those guys that come in and start making plays. Now, he's caught a few balls, but they haven't been impact balls. They've just been, okay, you know, a pass here, a pass there. But he hasn't been given a chance or hasn't had an opportunity to be an impact player in a game. I think it has to start this week because, like Dennis Ackerman said, they're going to load up the box. And I said this at the beginning of the week. They're going to load up the box.
Sure.
And they're going to dare you to throw the football. A lot of men. I was watching film of them when they played Arizona. A lot of man-to-man. A lot of some press coverage. So they're daring you to throw the ball outside. So I think a guy – I think Traylon's going to be okay, but I think this is the week Robert Woods needs to step up.
I agree. I mean, yeah, that's why you made that trade for him.
Exactly.
You brought him in to be a complimentary piece. Yes, at the time it was to A.J. Brown, but, you know, if Traylon's going to become what you think he is, and I've liked Treylon Burks. I mean, I think they should use him more, but I think he's progressed nicely through the first 2 weeks. But you got to get more out of the veteran than Robert Woods. And yeah. I don't think it's necessarily the knee that's held him back. I kind of think it's been the game plan.
Well, people don't realize how difficult it is to come into a new situation.
Sure.
Not only are you, you know, it's a new city. You're learning a new offense. You got to build a relationship with these guys on the field and off the field. There are a lot of other things that you have to sort of manage outside of football as well. So it's not like a guy can just jump in and right away, you know, he's going. He's hitting the ground running. It takes guys, especially older guys, it takes them a little bit longer to get not just acclimated, you know, inside of the building, but to get acclimated outside of the building, because I think if things are good outside of the building, it makes your job inside the building a lot easier.
I'm going to call an audible, all right? I just got a new play called in, stepping up to the line, going to call it. Load the lines up, 615-737-1025, because I have an extra pair of Elton John tickets to give away. Ooh. So the best question for D-Mace will win
pressure
a pair of Elton John tickets. But you must call in. 615
you got to call to get the
737-1025.
We got people texting,
well,
too.
Okay, you can do both. Fine. You can do both. 615-737-1025, pair of Elton John tickets on the line. Ask D-Mace. More coming up next. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right. Hit that text line or call in 615-737-1025 and ask D-Mace. We're going to hit it hard. And then Eddie George at 1 o'clock will have trivia during the 1 o'clock hour as well. Loan Pronto. If you're getting hit hard with the higher costs, higher interest rates, and your credit card bill is maybe going up a little bit, if you'd like to wipe out those bills before the holidays, it's time right now to call Loan Pronto. Because your home equity can rescue you right now, and that is what Loan Pronto is doing. Here is the system that they have. Your home's value is up. There's cash you can get out. Loan Pronto specializes in the zero-cost cash-out home refis. You can get tens of thousands of dollars in your pocket in as little as 2 weeks to address the bills that you have. Most people that do this cut around $800 on the average from their monthly budget. If that sounds good to you, then you need to give them a call at 615-499-5780. And if your mortgage rate goes up a little bit, it's offset by the fact that your credit card rate or those bills you're going to pay will be paid down to zero. And here's the kicker. When the rates come back down, the mortgage rates, Loan Pronto will refi you again for free. So don't wait. It's a good system. Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Where are we?
Centennial Sportsplex.
Centennial Sportsplex. Thank you. My brain is freezing.
Hey, we redo. All go through it, Chase.
Redo. Centennial Sportsplex Predators Training Camp presented by Vanderbilt Health. I was just watching some practice during the break and talking to Predators assistant GM Brian Poyle. We hope to have another player join us in the 1 o'clock hour. But right now, your chance to win Elton John tickets in Ask D-Mace. You can call. You can text. The best questions, best question will win a pair of tickets to see Elton John on October 2nd at Nissan Stadium. So you want to start with the text line or the phone line?
Let's start with the text line. Come on. Let's go.
All right. Let's do this. Here's a good one. Josh from Jackson. Uh-huh. D-Mace, would you have scored on the final play in the Super Bowl?
Josh from Jackson, would I have scored? That's a good question. I don't know.
Dice had
a good look. I would tend to think that, yeah, I would have scored, but, if you ask Dyson that question again, he probably would say, yes, I should have scored. And if you give me an opportunity, if we had to do it over again, I would score. But it's not just about – I know a lot of people just see Dyson catching the ball and trying to get in, but it's more than that. It's everybody on that play has to do their job. So if everybody's doing their job, then I would tend to think in that situation, Kevin would have scored. So I'm not taking anything away from Kevin. He tried.
He had the right look.
He had the right play was called, everything. Yeah. They made a better play.
Yeah, and that's what happens sometimes. All right, Gary on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. D-Mace, if you're going to chase a ring and come out of retirement, who do you sign with this year? Bonus question, creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
Creamy peanut butter, but I like almond butter. But if I had to eat peanut butter, creamy peanut butter.
Okay.
If I had to go to a team and chase a ring, it would be either Buffalo or – Let me see. In the NFC, it would be.
NFC's harder.
Yeah, NFC a little bit harder. It would be at right now. It would be Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It would be Philly. Philly and Buffalo.
You and AJ would probably need to go talk.
Yeah. We would have to have a sit down before.
y'all might need to work some stuff
exactly.
out before.
No, I like AJ, man. I like his demeanor. I like, you know, I like what he's about on the football field. So we wouldn't have no problems at all. I would love to. You know, if I was the receiver on the opposite of A.J. Green, I would love it. Me and A.J. Brown, I would love it. Why? Because he would be taking all the coverage.
Yeah.
And I would leave me one-on-one.
That's true. Here's a good one. Shane in the Borough. How do you like screwball peanut butter whiskey? A shot, peanut butter old-fashioned, or one of the many delicious recipes? And, Shane, you can go to screwballwhiskey.com for more information on that.
You're never going to have a problem getting on the air when you work the sponsor in. That's a good job. Good job, Shane.
You know, I have not had screwball.
Oh, we got to fix that.
Yeah, we got to fix that.
We
got to
fix that.
Screwball.
We will make that happen.
But because I like peanut butter, I think the peanut butter screwball, peanut butter, yeah, that would be the one.
Well,
I
the toward. Shot?
Yeah, the shot.
Yeah.
You I would think like. That's what I would go toward.
Mark and Madison, D. Mason, as a returner, what do you have to remember or practice to not have fumbles, and what is the hardest kick for you to field?
What you got to remember is, as a returner, the first and most important job is to secure the football, whether it be as you're catching it or as you are about to advance the football, because, man, that's a hard job to do. Not everybody can, you know, everybody screams about, oh, I can return a punt, I can do. No, you can't. You know, when that ball gets up in the air, especially at night, or wind's blowing, when that ball gets up in the air, man, you have to have a really good knack for, you know, not seeing the ball where it's at in the air, but anticipating that it will move. And you may start off, you know, on the left half, and as the ball is coming down because of that wind, it ends up on the right half. You have to know, you have to anticipate that. You got to watch it off the kicker's foot. So for me, that's the most important part, you know, knowing that. And then knowing where your blockers are. Knowing how the return is set up, knowing, and you got to trust the guys in front of you that they're going to give you enough time to catch the ball and then advance it. So for me, it's those few things in regards to catching a punt.
615-737-1025, our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ask D. Mace. Elton John tickets on the line. Let's go to the phone lines and go to Joe. Joe has a question for Derek Mason. Joe, welcome in.
Hey, Mr. D. Mace. Hey, I just have a question. So I'm a big Tennessee fan, and one thing that they do is they convince me every year that no matter how bad they were the year before, it's going to be their year. So my question for you is, who has a more powerful propaganda department, University of Tennessee or North Korea? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, I've heard that North Korea's their propaganda department is on 100. But
we need to get Dennis Rodman to
exactly.
ask that question?
That's pretty good.
No, I mean that Tennessee as you know, this program has been over the last decade. They've been, you know, up and down, more down than up. They seem to have found their footing with Josh Heupel and his offense. So, you know, you want a university that tries to each and every year, no matter how the roster looks, they try to ensure their fans that this is going to be the season. Because the last thing you want is, as they call it, the propaganda department to come out and say, hey, listen, our team sucks. We're not good. Don't buy any tickets. And fans are going to be like, what are you talking about? What's going on here? How can you say this about my university? We can't be that bad. No, but instead they come out and they try to be very optimistic. I mean, you go to any university. I don't care if it's a university that just got a brand new head coach, that just got a brand new football team, basketball team, whatever it is. They're always going to be optimistic for the upcoming next season. And UT's no different, and they're going to continue to be optimistic. And they have a right to, because I believe what they're doing now with Josh Heupel at the helm they are bringing in better players, and they're setting this program up to be successful down the road.
Let's go to Doug. Doug has a question for Derek Mason.
Hey, D-Mace. Hey, guys.
Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, Josh Allen. I'm a big fan of Josh Allen, and one of the reasons they didn't draft him high, or teams didn't draft him higher in the draft that year, was because of his accuracy issue. And they say he's improved more than any quarterback they've seen coming out of college to where he is now. And my question to you is that a huge issue of trying to improve accuracy with a pro quarterback? And then which quarterback did you play with that you saw some of that improvement over the years when you played wide receiver?
All right, thanks,
Thank
Doug.
Thank you. What the first question I couldn't
I mean, I think the premise was the what have you seen with Josh Allen of why he's improved his accuracy and, like, things that he's worked at.
Yeah. I think with Josh, it was always there, but it wasn't consistent. Mm-hmm. I think once he started to learn the game a lot better, learn offenses and defenses a lot better, and then he started to get playmakers. Because a lot of times, I think, the lack of accuracy comes when you're trying to press, when you think every play has to be a big play, it has to be that throw, because you don't have faith in the guys around you, or you just y'all haven't been together long enough. And you can see over the last few years, Josh Allen has gotten a lot better, and he's had his share of offensive coordinators as well. But once you're in one system and you're able to learn that one system, and then you get you a playmaker like Stephon Diggs, that increases your accuracy. And then his knowledge of the game and studying the game, he wants to be one of the greats. You can tell he has that demeanor. He has that fire to be one of the greats. So if you want to be one of the greats, you're going to do the things necessary during the season, but most importantly, in the offseason, to make sure you come back and you're a much better player. I'm sure he heard all that stuff. You're not as accurate. So in the offseason, that's what he worked at, being an accurate quarterback, a consistently accurate quarterback. And the guy that I played with, I mean, Steve was the same way. Joe Flacco was the same way. You know, Steve in his early years, he wasn't, as accurate. But once he started to really get that offense down and playmakers, and just that confidence that we knew he had, he started to take off. Same with Joe. They started to take off. They started to trust the guys around them. And they believe every play didn't have to be a big play.
There you go. Ask D-Mace. You really have been taking notes.
Yeah. This is going to be tough. I have been taking notes. I got it. I mean, how do we determine the winner?
We need to, we need to huddle up during the break.
We had some great ones we couldn't get to.
I know. I know. We could. We got to get to Eddie George, though. We'll ask him. He'll
ask me a question.
Coming up next, TSU head coach, Titans legend, Eddie George, going to join us here on the show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.